This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You're on The Escape Hour, Joy 94.9. My name's Russ Masterton. I'm here today with Fiona Brooke. So who have we got with us, Fi?
Tony Tan. Hello, Tony. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you've been on before. We had a great chat. And Tad, I asked him if he wanted to come in and chat with you again. He's travelling around like a crazy man these days. I'm not even sure where he is.
Well, he's on a country trip today. He's going to Adelaide and New South Wales, I think. It's a road trip.
Adelaide to New South Wales. That's a very long road trip.
It's a very long road trip. I think he's doing his Priscilla Queen of the Desert, so there'll be some cape flying in the wind out of his new car. I think he's testing
his new car.
He's a bit fancy, isn't he? Oh. Mr. Fancy Pants, Tad. Hello, I hope you're listening.
Hope you're listening, Tad. But we're actually talking about Tony's very fancy and beautiful new book, Hong Kong Food City.
Wow.
Wow, and it's a gorgeous looking book. Tony, this is your first book, is that right?
Yes, it is indeed.
And it must have been quite a process. I mean, you've been cooking for many, many years, but when you have to turn the practical parts of cooking and into a book and write it all down, I mean, that's a whole new level.
I think if anything, you know, because of my background, you know, it was a labour of love, put it that way. It took something like about 3 years to put it all together.
3 years is an extraordinary length of time. Were you approached by the publisher, or did you decide that you wanted to create a book of some of your favourite recipes and discover new ones?
Well, it all started in a very, very sort of strange way because, you know, I've been writing for several magazines and I've also been writing for The Age, you know, and for The Australian and so on and so on. And so, you know, people somehow or other know, you know, the way that I write. Mm. And so, you know, I just bumped into somebody by the name of Sue Hines, mm-hmm. who was the publisher for Murdoch Books. And so she said, well, you know, love to work with you and so on. And I thought, well, it'd be lovely to sort of do, you know, one of my favorite destinations in the world, and that's Hong Kong. Mm. So if you haven't been to Hong Kong before, it's such a dynamic city. It's a city that's, you know, that's like Blade Runner rolled into Asia or whatever you want to call it, you know, but it is frantic, you know. But it's also one of those most exciting cities you could possibly go to because, I mean, if you go to Causeway Bay, for instance, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you almost feel as though it's daytime because it's just so busy, you know, and there's, you know, it's lighting everywhere and, you know, neon everywhere. And so, you know, it's a fantastic place to go to.
Sounds a bit like Asia's New York, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, people do call it like it's Asia's New York. I mean, you know, when you go to Hong Kong, for instance, you know, you just see nothing but skyscrapers everywhere, you know, and I always tend to think that maybe it's because that, you know, Hong Kong is such a small city, and this is why they've got to have all those high rises that sort of rise like, you know, stalagmites, you know, into the air. And maybe it's also because that, you know, Hong Kong is a little bit phallic, put it that way. And so this is why they've got those two huge city, one's the IFC and one's the ICC, you know, the International Finance Center, and the other one is called the International Commercial Center. And in the ICC, the Commercial Center, it boasts that it has the highest hotel in the world. Yeah, it's 116 floors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I wonder if anyone's done a count on the number of restaurants in Hong Kong.
The last count was something like about 15,000.
Wow.
Goodness, that's amazing. I know from a travel perspective, this year there's been such an influx. Virgin's flying to Hong Kong now, and Qantas and obviously Cathay Pacific. And the airfares have come down. So there's never a better time to go to Hong Kong.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Hong Kong's one of the cheapest destinations in Asia to go to at the moment just because of competition on the route. So it's definitely well worth Joyce sisters going there and checking out this amazing city. It's amazing.
And it's also a very gay city in a very sort of funny sort of way too. Yeah.
I bet it has something for everyone.
I'm sure it does.
But there's also, of course, a lot more to Hong Kong than skyscrapers.
Indeed.
There is, you know, the other side, which I remember you talked about when you were last on the show, the dark side, which is more of the, you know, where some of the locals live and where there's a lot more of smaller laneways and smaller buildings, perhaps part of the older part.
Well, I think the dark side is considered to be one of those really very interesting parts of Hong Kong, simply because, you know, there are a lot of, the majority of the population live so-called on the dark side. It's because that, you know, it starts from TST or Tsim Sha Tsui, you know, and then it goes all the way to Kowloon, to the New Territories, and so on. And it goes back to a little bit of history as well, because back in the 50s, when a lot of the mainland or people who are fleeing civil war, you know, and plus the Second World War, you know, there was a huge influx of people who literally sort of came into Hong Kong, and they had no place to go. So it was literally sort of building, you know, anywhere from Mong Kok onwards. So, you know, that area, that part of town is quite residential, but yet at the same time, you know, they were in those days, you know, all the triads and all that sort of thing, but, you know, you don't even see anything like that anymore. But it is interesting, and I love going to that part of town, all because, you know, you just feel as though that you are in what is called the authentic Asia, you know. But, you know.
And when you were writing the book, you travelled back to Hong Kong to continuously find inspiration and ideas?
Absolutely, because, I mean, being, you know, Chinese Malaysian, but yet at the same time, you know, I graduated with languages, so I studied Mandarin, and also at the same time, because I speak fluent Cantonese, it's pretty exciting, because, you know, you hear of different things that are happening all the time. For instance, you know, people always sort of say that, you know, Hong Kong is a very consumerist society. But yet at the same time, you know, all the young Hong Kongers that are going back to Hong Kong, they are bilingual, they are very, very visionary, and they think, you know, they think beyond the square. So much so that, you know, there are people like a very dear friend of mine called Janice Leong. She is very, very much involved with the farmers market movement. In fact, she
sounds exciting.
It is very, very exciting. So much so that if you go out to the New Territories, not forgetting the fact that, you know, when you go to Hong Kong, obviously we are all somewhat seduced by the glamour, seduced by the immediacy of it all, and that is, you know, you see all the glamorous hotels and whatever else, but 3/4 of Hong Kong is actually green. So out in the New Territories, you actually find farmers, you know, growing organic this and organic that. So it's
one of the things I love the most about visiting any city is seeing the farmers markets. I mean, they have them in Paris every weekend. In all Japanese cities, they have these divine little farmers markets. So what did you, I mean, when you were travelling back and forth, even though you've been to Hong Kong many times, when you were writing the book, because readers, should you manage to get your hands on this beautiful book, Tony has written recollections of Hong Kong in the book.
Which I think that's really clever. I mean, not only is the book from a foodie's point of view visually appeasing, I love the fact that you can actually get some of Hong Kong's history and a few tales about the city itself. And the book's stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Beautiful photographs.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
What's your favourite recipe in it, Tony?
There are quite a few. I mean, you know, I mean, there are times when I am really very lazy because, you know, by nature, you know, being a big fat Tory, and, you know, so therefore I like to sort of sleep in, so to say.
That's not something I would put in front of your name, Tony.
But you know what I mean, you know. So my go-to dishes are, you know, like, you know, which is what we always do, you know, because, I mean, there are days when we just don't feel like cooking. You know, the famous fly lice, you know.
there are some.
And of course, then there is, you know, because I'm also Hainanese by, you know, background, I love chicken rice really very much. And I think that, you know, making the best chicken rice is just like, you know, you get the soup, you get the chicken soup, you've got the beautifully poached chicken, you've got the rice that's actually flavored with the stock that's gone into making the chicken, you know, and then afterwards, then you just have got to have cook some vegetables and then use whatever chili sauce that you like, and there you go, you know.
And there's some great
classic. You make it sound so easy.
It is easy. Yes.
Did you discover when you were going back to research the book anything new about Hong Kong that you didn't know before?
Well, there are several very exciting things about Hong Kong, not forgetting the fact that Hong Kong is essentially a Chinese city, but it is also a city that's so really very much forward looking, and I'm sure you agree about that, Russ.
Well, I couldn't believe it. You know, I was just looking up events this year in Hong Kong, because I'm a big person on, you know, if you're going to go to a city to travel, you need to go and experience the city. And, you know, they've got Hong Kong Gay and Lesbian Film Festivals
Correct.
Coming up, they've got Hong Kong Prides coming up,
yes.
And they've got a Hong Kong day where they actually promote homosexuality. Now, if you're looking at the Chinese government, you don't get much information about this. So Hong Kong itself, as part of China, is very progressive, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is incredibly progressive. I mean, that's what I just love being in Hong Kong so much. You know, I mean, coming back to the food perspective, you know, you realize that even though it's really very Chinese, you know, there's a huge influx of Aussies that are there. Mm. In fact, you know, according to some of the stats that I've heard, there are about 116 or 118,000 Aussies there at
wow.
any one given time.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it could be, you know, it's just as big as one of our smaller cities here in Australia. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what does that mean? You know, people are going there to work. People are going there for holidays, people are just about going there to eat, you know. So I'm really very excited by the fact that a very good friend of mine by the name of Shane Osborne, he has relocated from his two Michelin star restaurant in London to start up in Hong Kong.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that exciting?
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it is.
I've missed my favorite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
This is the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9. We're talking all things Hong Kong today. Fiona.
I know, and I mean, this is not very good radio, sorry to say, but I'm looking at this incredible photograph and dish in Tony's new book, which is Hong Kong Food City. That's, of course, the wonderful Tony Tan, who's our guest today. Sea urchin in lobster jelly with cauliflower and caviar. Oh, my God.
I know. My mouth's watering. In fact, you know, I skipped through the book today, I thought, yes, I'll have that, and that.
And there's lots of vegetable dishes as well. And some dishes are complicated and some dishes are easy, and there's some classic recipes, chicken stock recipes at the back. Tony, where's your new favourite place to go when you're in Hong Kong, when you're visiting?
Gracious. I mean, you know, there are so many places that I've got a stomach like a cow, you know, so two stomachs, wouldn't that be wonderful?
If someone wanted to get some really good Hong Kong food in Melbourne, where would you suggest they go? Or maybe it's just so cheap to get on a flight, just go there.
Yes, I mean, you know, I'd much rather put it that way because, I mean, you know, if you want to go to Hong Kong, I mean, you know, there are flights at the moment that are selling for about $550 return. Mm. Now that's crazy, isn't it? Don't
it
you
is.
Think?
Absolutely,
yes.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, if you're going to be in Hong Kong, you know, there are so many places that I could just sort of rattle off easily, you know, like, for example, you can always go to Ho Hong Kee it's called Ho Hong Kee. You know, for very, very good wonton soup. Mm-hmm. You know, that's delicious. There's another place called Sister Wah that makes beautiful, beautiful beef brisket. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you love a beef brisket that's cooked with a little bit of radish inside, you know, and it's very, very nourishing, it's just, you know, and the meat literally sort of falls off your bone, falls off the bone. And if you are a vegetarian, you can always go to Peggy Tan's place, which is called the Something Pantry. the kitchen pantry or something like that.
We'll look it up.
Yes. Well, it's in a book anyway.
Oh, it's so, in a
yes,
book.
It is in a book. Because, I mean, she is an exquisite chef. In fact, she's coming out for the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival.
Oh, is she? Oh, yes. We'll have to get her on the show.
Absolutely.
Yes, you should.
I'll
you should get her on the show.
Melbourne Food and Wine Festival and set that up.
Good. You get your people to talk to her people and we're on. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, there are vegetarian places and there are also great, great Indian places that you can go to as well. And so, you know, that mixture is just pretty incredible. But also one of my truly, if I really want to go for exquisite dim sum, which is, you know, you've got to book something like 3 months in advance.
Wow.
But it is called the Lung King Hin, which is at the Four Seasons. And it's the first restaurant in the world to win 3 Michelin stars. And so, you know, and that in itself is an achievement. But you know, if you really want to go for, you know, what I call your romantic getaway, you know, now that so many people are getting married, you know, including the gay community, which I think is just absolutely fantastic.
It's great, isn't it?
It is just wonderful, you know.
More honeymoons to come.
Yes, definitely.
Well, you could do a honeymoon in Honkers, couldn't you?
I'm not married.
No, but you could if you got married.
Yes, of course.
Maybe we need to get you married off. Would anyone like to marry Tony today?
No, thank you. Now you're making me blush.
Well, that sounds incredible.
So if you haven't been to Hong Kong before, Tony, what would you recommend as the must-see sites to go and see? I'm a self-confessed. I haven't been to Hong Kong for, I would imagine it would be 15 years now. It's been that long since I've been.
Oh, wow.
So I, you know, about the only thing I can recall is taking the tram up to...
The vernacular
up to. Yes. What's the name of the point?
It's just called Victoria Peak.
Yeah, Victoria Peak, yes. Yeah. But I'm sure anyone who's, you know, being enticed by what you're saying about Hong Kong today would love to hear where they should go. Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. 5 things you really have got to do in Hong Kong. How's that?
Yeah.
One, of course, you've got to go on to see the peak to go on the peak because, you know, once you're up there and you look down, you know, and that sweep of the majesty of the whole place, you know, the city, you know, where you can look at the island itself and then over to the other side, you know, just see beautiful, you know, the skyscrapers, and you just can't help but think that you're actually in New York. So that's one. The other thing that you really have got to do is, because it's so ridiculously cheap, but you actually get to see the city in situ, so to say, you know, and that is you go on the ding ding, and the ding ding is actually the tram.
It's a bit of a clang 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 goes the trolley.
Correct. Yes, indeed. Very much so.
What a cute name.
Yeah, for $2.
That's all right. That's a bargain.
For $2. So you can go from one side of the city to the other side of the city, which will take you something like about, you know, 3/4 of an hour, but you get to see that. And then the third thing that you really have got to do is it also costs something like about $2, and that is to go on the Star Ferry. You know,
yes.
Now
I've seen photographs. It looks so beautiful.
It is quite something because, you know, you are going from the island to the mainland or to Kowloon side, you know, and you get to see that sweep of the panorama. Panorama of the whole city, you know. It's just fantastic to really experience. And then if you really want to run away for, you know, for a very romantic weekend, you've got to go to a place called Tai O, you know, and there is a gorgeous turn of the century hotel over there, and I can't remember the name. I think it is called the Tai O Hotel.
Yes.
So bear in mind that it is a romantic weekend, so it's quiet. You wake up in the morning, you know, you go for a stroll in the village and all those things. So that's another thing that I would love to do too. And then the last thing for me is if you're into sights and so on, and that's it boasts that it has the largest copper Buddha, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of that, absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, of course, then there is the incredible shopping.
Oh, my goodness, yes. That shopping is quite something.
I mean, obviously, there'll be the big main department, the big stores that you find all the way around the world. But when I go to a city and I want to go shopping, I'm looking for things that I can't find anywhere else. Are there particular areas that have, you know, more unique stores?
There are a few. I mean, let's say, if you really want to go for the exotica, there is a behind Wan Chai and between Wan Chai and Causeway Bay or Wan Chai and Admiralty, there are a row of shops where you come across really very beautiful, you know, handcrafted stuff and so on like this. Or else you go to another area, which is called Xiong Wan, that's quite lovely as well. And then if you really want to go and get, you know, your T-shirts made in Hong Kong and all that sort of thing, you can go to Stanley. That's another place that is really quite lovely to go as well because, you know, it's far away from the madding crowd, so to say.
Although it's always good to get out into those neighbourhoods and explore whenever you're in a city. I'm always looking for, you know, local craftspeople and all that sort of thing and antique markets and vintage fabric finds. I always come back from holidays with fabric.
And looking gorgeous, yeah.
It's always fun. And then I just have put it in a box and it usually just sits there for about 5 years before I do anything with it. But, of course, eating, that just sounds incredible.
I mean, you know, eating in Hong Kong, you know, it's, you know, it really, really comes down to how much you really want to spend, you know. You can eat for as little as about $10 or $5, you know, for a bowl of noodles or whatsoever, you know, a bowl of congee, you know. And if you really want to go to something that's intrinsically Hong Kong, it's called Cha Tan Tang. So these are little diners or cafes, you know. And that's actually quite fun. So you can go in, you go over there and you ask for your poached eggs or your boiled eggs and, you know, and you get a very, very strong coffee made in Hong Kong style coffee with condensed milk.
Love that kind of coffee.
Yeah, that's worthwhile going to as well. So, you know, it's...
I've got a line there. I was going to say I only like long blacks, but anyway, we'll keep going.
Well, you oh, I see.
Well, you know that wonderful condensed... Russ.
I hope there are no children listening.
No, neither do I.
Well,
I think you could just do, and what would be clever for some tour companies to do would be actually a some sort of eating tour to Hong Kong.
Why don't we pull together a gay crowd, you know, an LGBTI crowd to go?
Tony, would you take a group of people over there on a tour?
So long as they're not going to ask me to see where they can go to for you know what.
Right.
Fair enough too. They do their own research when it comes to.
But I bet there would be people here, the people that could do food tours. In fact, we're having Alan Campion on in a couple of weeks to talk about Melbourne food tours.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes we like to stay in our own neighbourhood. But anyway, I think
Come with me.
You should take a food tour. I have no doubt that the lovely people at Gourmet Traveller would love to organise that with you.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah.
But why not? Why can't I do one with Joy Radio?
Well, we'll see what we can come up with. We'll speak to the powers to be.
We will. We'll get that sorted.
Yes.
So, Tony, now, like Ottolenghi, he started out writing for newspapers, those columns about vegetables. Then he had a book deal. Then he had another book, and then he had another book. Are you planning on doing another couple of books?
Fiona, that I think is a very dangerous question. I just launched a book only about a month ago, so give me a little bit of a break. Okay.
Was it like your baby?
It's like my baby. It's really very, it's almost hard to sort of let it go, you know. And I cried the first time, you know, when the first day when the book arrived, you know, and it was, you know, two copies in Australia, you know, one of them to me and another one to the publisher. And I just cried and cried and cried because, I mean, it's just like, oh, my God, my baby's born, you know. And I find it so hard to let go.
Honestly, Tony, with all of the hard work and blood, sweat and tears you put into it, are you happy?
I still get a thrill every time when I see, you know, it in a bookshop and I say, oh, my God, it actually happened, you know. And you get such a buzz about that. And even now talking about it, I'm beginning to sweat, my palms getting wet all that. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I would highly recommend that everyone takes a look at the book.
So if you can't get to Hong Kong...
If you can't get to Hong Kong...
Go and buy Tony's book and you can cook your own Hong Kong food.
If you need any inspiration to go to Hong Kong and you look at this book and you make some of the food, you'll just want to get over there. And then, of course, when you've tried the food in Hong Kong, you'll feel so much more inspired because you'll be like, oh, and then it'll be great dinner party conversation. Well, I was in Hong Kong and I had this dish and now I can actually make it for you thanks to Tony's book.
Thank you so much.
Yep,
I think it's very kind, Tony.
Thank you.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We are back at Joy and the wonderful food show that we know and love, Food and Travel Show, The Escape Hour. Russ is messing around with buttons as usual. Now, Tony was wonderful.
Isn't he a lovely man? We love having him in.
Now, if you want to actually get a little bit of a catch up with Tony or hear some of his stories, he is actually participating in a talk for Midsummer. It's called Eat Me, Queers, Food and Intimacy, Moth-Styled Storytelling Meets MasterChef. So Tony will be on a panel with Nevo Zissin, Asher Buffett and Ryan Adrick to talk about their experiences of food and intimacy, and it sounds pretty sexy all round. It's on the Thursday, the 1st of February at 5:30 at Bombini Buzz. Now, I believe it might even be sold out.
They have got a wait list, though.
But they have a wait list. I was just looking online. Anyway, so thanks, the lovely Tony, for coming in, and we'll hopefully get that trip organised.
I think that'd be great. So, Fiona, this year, 2018, it's just bomb. It's exploded, and we're already 3 weeks into January.
Oh, it's galloping along.
Where are you going this year? What's the plan of attack?
Oh, gee, well, you know, I mean, I was so indecisive at the end of last year about where I was going. But it actually looks like it might even be Turkey.
How exciting.
Yes. And as a result, we are talking Turkey next week.
Are you going next week?
No, I'm not going next week. But we have a guest on next week
who is going to talk about Turkey,
which will be fantastic. And one of the reasons why I'm talking Turkey is because my partner's housemate is Turkish,
right,
and apparently his family and friends live in this beautiful beachside neighbourhood that when I read about it online, of Istanbul, that is,
yes.
When I read about it online, I just went, that is me, it is talking to me. Turkey, of course, is a bit safer now than what it has been for the past few years.
I love Turkey. Absolutely love Turkey. I went there for quite a number of years. Each year it's a bit of a spiritual journey. And I only say that because once you actually walk inside the Blue Mosque and you sit there and you have a look at this amazing mosque and then Hagia Sophia, which is right next door, it absolutely blows you away.
Well, I'm a big fan of a mosque.
Yep.
I do love going into mosques and those, you know, I mean, I'm just very attracted to the Middle East.
In general.
So Turkey is probably the main port of call. The other idea would be to try and hit up Peru. I want to do some hiking in Peru.
I could see you doing the old Machu Picchu.
Yes, absolutely.
Take the train from Cuzco up to Machu Picchu and away you go.
This has been The Escape Hour on Joy 94.9.
Listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.